Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf pei. We're in the middle of a fascinating sugya legabe, whether choshishin lezera ho'av or ein choshishin lezera av, as well as do we hold seh v'afilo mitzah seh or not. Now this question comes up in particular in today's daf, as we already started yesterday's Amud Beis, legabe a kvi. What exactly is a kvi? Kvi is so shrouded in mystery that we don't even know the correct pronunciation, because some people say it's a kevi, and some say it's a kvi, some say it's a koi, and in the litter they used to say a k, koi k. Good. So even has different pronunciations. Moreover, later today we're going to have on the Amud Aleph a four-way machloitis exactly what a kvi is. Regardless, yesterday's Amud Beis and the beginning of today's Amud Aleph, we're going to assume that a kvi is a mixed breed, a child that was born to a behema and a chaya which mated. And the Gemara gives the examples of a tzvi with a tiyosha, tzvi being a male deer, which is a chaya, a tiyosha being a female goat, or the other way around. A tayosh and a tzviyah. Tayosh being the male goat and the tzviyah being the female deer. In each case, the Gemara is going to examine the child of that mating, which we call a kvi. What is the halachic status for three particular purposes? Number one, for purposes of our perek, oso v'es b'no, which means that what happens if that child, that kvi, in turn mates with another animal and produces itself a baby kvi, the older kvi together with the child, can you go and shech both of those on one day? Well, the Torah says, "V'shor oiseh oisoy v'yes benoy lois tishkatu b'yoy mechad." If you're dealing with a shor, you're dealing with a seh, don't shech it and its child. As you remember, we had a machloikis yesterday in the Gemara. Are we referring to the female mommy together with its child? That's according to everyone. According to Hananya, not only the female mommy, but even the male daddy. You're now letting go and shecht it together with its child, b'yoyim echad. That was one halacha. So now the question is, regarding the tayosh together with the tzviyah, or the tzvi together with the tiyosha, they produce this kvi. This kvi is not a shor and not a seh, unless you say that mitzah seh is also called a seh. How do you have a mitzah seh? Because this kvi, either its father or its mother, was from the etayish or a tiyasha, which is from the etayish or tiyasha, that is from the A's family. And we know that the Torah refers to seh kvasim and seh Ezim. So the word seh therefore refers to both the sheep and the goats. Ah, okay. So this kvi, by definition, is 50-50. It's 50% a tvi and 50% a tayosh, or 50% a tayosh and 50% a tvi. I'm saying the same thing. No. It depends on whether this is the zocher, this is the nekeva. Without getting bogged down in too many details at this point, we already have that first question. Does it apply only to a vaday shor and a vaday seh, or even to this kvi, which is a 50-50 hybrid? Machloikis, not machloikis we have at the top of ayin tes, amin beis, between the chachamim and Rebbe Lezer, whether the din of oisvies benoi applies to a kvi or not. There's a second time that the Gemara said we have this shaila. That is the gabi shechting a kvi on yontif. If you are shechting a regular behema on yontif, that's totally permissible, because ach asher yiyochel l'chol nefesh hu levad yiyosel lachem. Anything involving food preparation is permissible on yontif. Yes, most of you have not seen a shechita on yontif, because most of us buy our meat in the supermarket or the meatmonger, whoever you buy it from. However, mitzad hadin would be allowed to go and set shecht behemis on yontif. It's much just like you're allowed to cook on yontif. You're also allowed to go and shecht on yontif. Now, if you're shechting a behema, okay, you shecht the behema, you do your normal bedika of the evarim, you do your normal malicha, that is, you go and salt it, and then you can go and eat it. However, when you're eating a chaya, as you know, there's a special din by chaya that does not apply to behema, and that is kesei hadam. That when you go and shecht the chaya, a wild beast, has to be, of course, a kosher wild beast, but if you do that, after the shechita, you have to go and be mechasa l'dam. The same thing applies, of course, also to oifois, to birds. But we're not talking about birds today. We're only talking about behemoths and chayim. Okay, so now, if I'm shechting a behemoth on yontif, no problem. If I'm shechting a chaya on yontif, I should prepare in advance the efer kira muchanu. I should go and prepare either offer or ash or whatever to go and be mechasa l'dam. What happens if I didn't prepare it? Oh, I can get into all types of halachic issues. What type of halachic issues? If you had to go and dig up earth to go and cover over the blood, then I could have a problem of chofer. If I'm doing it out in my field, and I'm making as a result a shtickel hole, which has around it now, like mechitzos, by the fact that I've extracted some dirt, that could be a tolda of bone. And then besides that, the earth itself happens to be mukta, just like all eitzim vavonim, earth and Shabbos is mukta. You can just pick it up, unless, of course, you were, before Shabbos, you had prepared it. The Gemara beginning of Masechtas Beah discusses this in detail, all the types of shaylos that you could possibly have. Another thing is that when you go and pick up the dirt, you might cause some of the ground to go and be pushed down, which would be kotesh. Kotesh is a tolda of toche, all different types of halachic issues. If you're dealing with a vadai chaya and you take care of those issues, and the Masechtas Beah, the Gemara goes through that you should go and prepare the earth in advance, etc. Al tzizeh good. However, if you're talking about a kvi is a safik behema, safik chaya. If it's a behema, it does not need kisui adam. If it's a chaya, it does require kisui adam. So you get into halachic issues on Yontif. And therefore the Mishnah Masechtas, we're going to have later on, in fact, another couple of days in our Masechta, and Masechtas Beah, the first Mishnah Masechtas Beah talks about Efer Kira Muchanu. So bottom line is Kvi, the best thing is don't shecht on Yontif, so you don't get into halachic issues. And if you did shecht it, Ein Mechasim Es Domei, don't go Mimachal Yontif and do a Chafira, a digging up of any earth, because maybe it's only a behema and not a chaya, and therefore it doesn't require kisei adam. So that was halachic issue number two. Halachic issue number three, the final issue for today, relating to kvi, is the gavi, the din of matonais. What means the din of matonais? It says in the pasuk in Sefer Devarim, I believe in Parshas Kiseitse, that if you go and shecht chulin, every single time you shecht a new animal, you're supposed to give matonis to the kohen, zroya lechoyayim v'hakeva. This is not noheg bizman hazeh. Why isn't it? We're going to have a special perek called zroya lechoyayim v'hakeva. We're going to have a back mitzvah medaf kuf lamed beis. But the Gemara is going to go and discuss this. If you're wondering where is this pasuk, the pasuk says v'zeh yia mishpat hakohanim yeisa am. Excuse me. Me'es zoyfchei hazevach im shor imseh, shor imseh. V'nosim lakoyin hazroya balochayayim v'hakeva. So there's a mitzvah to go and give these matonis to the koyin. The Gemara just calls it matonis. If you're talking about im shor imseh, you have to give the matonis, because that's what the pasuk says. If you're talking about a tzvi or chaya, you don't give matonis. What do you do if you have a kvi? So but that was a machloikis again in the Braisa Mishnah, whether or not you have to go and give it a kvi, or not, machloikis on a common rabbi. So we had three halachas, all involving kvi. We have the ois of the espanoi shayla, we have the kisei adam shayla, and we have the matona shayla. And each time the Gemara was talking about what do the chachamim hold and what does Rabbi Lezer hold. And the Gemara concluded at the end of today's daf, sorry, at the end of yesterday's daf, that everybody agrees that there's a suffix with a choshen lezera ho'av oilai. What does it mean, choshen lezera ho'av? We know who the mami is. We saw that the mami was pregnant. So I know that the mami was either a behema or it was a chayiv. That's crystal clear. The question is, this child, that kvi, do I look upon it only as being from Zera Ho'aim? And if I know, therefore, that the mami was a tzviya, then I assume that the child is also a from the same tzvi family, and therefore the din of Kisei Adam would apply. The din of Oisiv Yespanoi and Matonis would not apply. Or the other way around, if the mami of this animal happens to be a Tiyosha, Tiyosha is from the A's, from the goat family, so then Oisiv Yespanoi would apply, and the Matonis would apply, but the din of Kisei Adam would not apply. That's if you hold of just looking strictly at the mami. Or do you say that I also have to worry about the Zer Ho'av, who the father was? So for instance, let's say that this mami was a Tiyosha, so normally I wouldn't worry about Kisei Adam, because Tiyosha means that it's a Behema. Behema doesn't have a din of Kisei Adam. But if what happens if the father of this Kvi was a Tzvi, ui, Tzvi, I do have a din of Kisei Adam. Do I have to worry about Kisei Adam for this baby or not? Can you imagine? Oh dear, exactly. Thank you, Shavi, for spicing it up a little bit over here. And of course,
you have to look at the offspring, and then you'll know what the influences are, what the DNA was.
Okay. So that was the original machlokes Gemara assumed. Am I choshes zera'av? Not choshes zera'av. The Gemara concluded that everybody has a suffix. Do I have to worry about the zera'av identifying whether the av was or was not a behemoth or a chayv? Everybody has a suffix. What is now the machlokes between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim? Whether you go and say se va filo miktsas se and tzvi va filo miktsas tzvi. In other words, when we say, for instance, like ois v'yes benoi, says in the pasuk v'shar ois v'yes benoi v'sishko to be a mechad. So that word se, does that se only refer to a 100% se from father and mother's side? Or say no. So would even include a mitzase, where the father, for instance, was a tzvi, not anywhere within the behema family, strictly a chayah. Does that also constitute an influence in the DNA in the of that kli? So that was the whole machlokes. And now Rav Papa is going to try to give us a little bit of feel. How does this work out tachlis in these three halachos?
By the way, scientifically.
Yes.
There's a genotype and a phenotype.
Mm-hmm.
So the genotype is the DNA. The phenotype is the appearance.
Aha. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and certainly that has enhanced our understanding of the sugya. And we continue on. Omer HaPapa. HaPapa is the third line from the top of Pei Omer Aleph. Omer HaPapa Hilkach. Now that we have concluded that the machloikis is, everybody agrees that there's a chshash, or at least there's a suffix, whether choshen lezera av. However, the machlokes between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim is, would you say, se v'afilu mikzaseh, or only se v'loy mikzaseh. If a papa says hilkach, we will now apply that type of background and understanding to these three halachas of the Kisei Adam, the matonois, and finally, with respect to oisiv yespenai. So he begins. The only time that we would have a machloikis, ele b'tzvi haba ala tiyosha, where therefore the father was the tzvi, was the chaya, the mother was the behem. And it's good for Kisei Adam and Matonis purposes, we need a behema. Sorry, for Kisei Adam you need a chaya, my apologies. Kisei Adam you need a chaya, for Matonis you need a behem. In other words, the din of Kisei Adam only applies to Chayas and Oifois, Matonis only applies to the Hames. So Lo Mishkachas al B'Tzvi Haba L'Tiyosha. You have this mixed marriage of the Tzvi, which is the Chay, together with the Behema. The Bein L'Rabbanu Bein L'Rab Lezer Misapkelu Yichoshin L'Zera Av Eloi. Do I have to worry about who the father was, or I completely forget about that? That's a suffix. The Kamithik is Wiz Machlekes V'Sev Afilo Mitzaseh. Period. That's the machlokes l'gabi the Kisei Adam l'gabi Matonis. Now, how does that work out? It's a long Rashi, but we'll try to go and explain it outside to give us a feel. So we have over here tzvi together with a tiyosha. Okay, so let's go and start off according to Chachamim, and let's start off l'gabi the halach of Kisei Adam. And for those of you that have an art scroll Gemara, there's a nice chart where he splits it up between a Tayish and a Tzviya, and a Tzvi and a Tiyosha, and between Ois Ves Benoit, Matanis Kahuna, and Kisei Adam, between Chachomim and Reb Lezer, Ayin Shah. But anyway, so starting off, since the Gemara said that the Machlokes that we're dealing with is Tzvi Habara Tiyosha, what would be the halacha according to the Chachom? The Chachom, everybody holds, I have a suffix, do I have to be Choshish Lezera Ha'av? To say the Chachom, Mitzara Suffix, then you have to go and do a Kisei Hadam, even though the mother of this animal was a behemoth. Doesn't require Kisei Hadam, but the father was a Tzvi, and of Mchoishish to the Zera Av, then I have to do a Kisei Hadam. But that's only during the week. If you're talking about the Yontif, you wouldn't do it on Yontif. Why wouldn't you do it on Yontif? Because of all the Shailas that are associated with doing a Kisei Hadam. So if I knew for a fact that I have a Chai, then I would do the Kisei Hadam. However, since I have a shayla, Osir, you're not going to go and do the Kisei Hadam, and that's why the Gemara said yesterday, and the Gemara is repeating today, sub silentio, that the Mishnah that we're going to have in Yet Hashem in another couple of days, in Daf Pei Gimel, when it says, Kvi ein shoychen oysu b'yanta vim shochte ein mechasen es tamay, during the week, of course, you can go and shecht it, and during the week, do the Kisei Hadam. But maybe there's no requirement of Kisei Hadam, because maybe it's only a behemoth. Okay, Vashat is there. Doesn't cause you any more effort or money. I mean, yes, to get the dirt together to Kisei Hadam, you got to do it because it's a suffix. However, since it's only a suffix, and there's a possibility, since it's a suffix, whether Choshe Zera Av, maybe I'm not Choshe Zera Av at all. So therefore, this baby, this Kvi, is really only from the Tayish side, from the mommy side, and forget about the father side. There's no din of Kisei Hadam. If that's the case, Im Shchotoi, Ein mechasen es tamid. It's Yom Tov. The Chachila don't go and do a shechita. And if he did, don't be mechasen. But that's legabi the case. You have a question?
I see some similarity because we decide if you are a yid or not according to your mother, not the father.
Well, everybody agrees that we're choishin zera ha'ein. That's for sure. The question is, we're also choishin zera avanat. And that was the dispute here.
It's like the reforms that do by the out.
Very good. Beautiful. Anyway, getting back to our case right to with the Chachamim, that's the Gabi Kisei Hadam, that's why they hold Chai Misofin. Even if you're going to tell me that the father is a Tzvi, this child is only a Mitzah Tzvi. That's what the Chum holds. Chum holds Seb Afilu Mitzah Seb, and Tzvi Afilu Mitzah Tzvi. You have to do Kisei Hadam Mi. Suffolk.
During
the week. And Yom Tov, it's awesome. Now we come to Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says the Gabi, the same Kisei Hadam, you're potur. Why you potur? Because even though Reb Lezer agrees, I have a suffolk, am I choshish zera av or not? But even with that, this baby that we're talking about, at most, is a chotzi tzvi, a mitzas tzvi. Why only mitzas tzvi? Because the mother was a Tayish, was a behemoth. The father was a Tzvi. So even if I'm Choshish, it only has a Mitzah Tzvi. That's what we said on the second line, Reb Lezer Sovar, Se Veloy Mitzah Se. It's only if you have a Vadai Tzvi, or a Vadai Se, you don't have a Vadai. And therefore, you're potter even during the week from having to do a Kisei Hadam, according to Reb Lezer. And then therefore, you're allowed to go and Shecht on Shabbat, not Shabbat, on Yom Tov. Why are you allowed to go and check the Yom Tov? Because you deem it to be a behemoth and not a chaya. Why isn't it a chaya, but at least 50%? So either because ain choshim zera'av, but even if you are choshim zera'av, tzvi v'afila mikta tzvi lo yomrinan. We only say tzvi v'lo mikta tzvi. The requirement of Kisei Hadam is only by a tzvi, in other words, 100% tzvi, and not by a 50% tzvi, and therefore you're totally potter, and you're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov, and that Mishnah that says later on in Pei Gimel that you're not allowed to, that's only the Rabbanan, and not Reb Lezer.
So it could be either a se or a tzvi?
The kvi that we have in front of us, that's our shayla. It's 50% tzvi, because the father was a tzvi. It's 50% tayish, because the mother was a tiyosha.
So you consider whatever is more advantageous for you.
It's not, you don't consider more advantageous. We have a machloikis. You see the top two lines of the Gemara. Seva filo mitzah said, that's the machloikis. Abundant sabi seva filo mitzah said, even if the genealogy is only if ancestry is only 50% set, aseh is aseh is aseh. Same thing with Gabi Tzvi. If even though it's only 50% Tzvi, 50% Tzvi is also a Tzvi.
So what do you decide? You have 50% Tzvi, 50% Seh. Which one is it?
That's the suffer. That's the whole Shaila. That's why, according to Rabbanan, since I don't know for sure, I always have to be machmir in all sides. So during the week, I will assume that this half a Tzvi is a Tzvi. I'll do Kisei Adam if I shecht the Kli. On Yontiv, I have to assume that maybe it's 50% Seh. 50% Seh, I don't do a Kisei Adam. So don't go and cause halachic problems of going and shechting it on Yontif. Do I have to now go and dig up the offer and do a Kisei Adam or not? Therefore,
stay. What if you set aside the offer before Yontif?
So that's in fact the first Mishnah Beya, Eifer Kira Muchanu, meaning that you could set aside, but again, if it happens to be a Vadai Korb, a Vadai Chaya, yes, use that to be Mechas Es Adam. However, if you have a Shaila, then don't go and shecht in the first place. Why? I have my offer and Eifer. The Rabbanan say that if you're going to go and do it for this Kli, the next time you're going to go and dig it, then you're going to cause problems. Anyway, so that's according to Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan says, we don't say Mikzah Tzvi. Either it's a Tzvi or not a Tzvi. If it's only Mikzah Tzvi, forget about it. There's no halacha of Kisei Adam. And therefore you're allowed to go and shecht on Yontif. And there's no din of Kisei Adam because it's like a regular behemoth, since the mami was a tayosh, which is a behemoth. Okay, that's the Gabi din of Kisei Adam. Now, this is only the Gabi, the Tzvi Habala Tiyosha. What happens if it was the other way around? What happens if it would be a tayish and a Tzviya? So since it's a Tzviya, we know for sure that the mami was a Tzvi or a Tzviya. Therefore, there's a Chayda din of Kisei Adam. According to the Rabbanan, Avad Yur Chayv and Kisei Adam, because I hold Tzvi, Bafilo Mitzas Tzvi, because that's the mami, and therefore you'd be allowed to go and shecht it even on Yontif and go and cover over the blood. But didn't you tell me it's a Safek? Yeah, but this is a Rabbanan Lishitosim that holds Tzvi, Bafilo Mitzas Tzvi, and therefore you can go and shecht it and be Mechasa on Yontif. Mashen Kir Rabbi Lezer says, no, it's got to be a full-fledged Tzvi, not a Mikzah Tzvi. So during the week, you're Chayv al Tzofik. Fine. However, on Yontif, don't do it, because maybe this does not have the din of a Tzvi, of a Chayv, because it's Tzvi, the Einoi Mikzah Tzvi. Maybe it has a din of a Behemoth, if it has a Behemoth, don't go Mimachasa Esana. So that's the Gabi Kisei Adam. Now we go over to the din of Matonis. Matonis means, again, Zroel Chayim Vakeva, to give to the Koyin. What's the din of those matnas kuna? Again, our Gemara says we're talking about a tzvi and a tiyosha. The father's a tzvi, mother's a taish. Because of the fact that the father's a tzvi, out of that, you don't have to give matonis. You only have to give matonis on the side that it is a tiyosha. So the Gemara already said yesterday, and Rashi repeats that again today, that the Gabi the matonis, according to the Rabbanan, that hold tzvi, vafilo mitzas tzvi, and they hold se, vafilo mitzas se. So you're looking at this tzvi, it's half a tzvi, half a seh. We're going to go and divide up the matonis in half. You don't give the full zreil chayim vakeva to the kohen. You only give him 50%. Why do you only give 50%? This is the kohen. It would go according to Simchas as well, but Agmar doesn't quote Simchas. You have a good point.
Simchas. You have to know in reality that this bilateral andromorphism, okay, this half and half. Usually,
go to the dictionary.
Butterflies and birds.
Butterflies and birds. Okay, you're using all of these fancy terms, giving me butterflies in my stomach. So,
okay.
And since they may not be kosher, I wouldn't want to ingest any butterflies in my stomach.
Well, I'm trying to wing it a little bit.
Trying to wing it. You're doing a great job. Some of those comments are foul. F-O-W-L, not F-O-U-L. Okay. Anyway, you're flying high. So let's get back to our Gemara now. So you have the Tzvi, the Kli, who's the son of a Tzvi and a Tiyosha. Tzvi, male side Tzvi, female side Tiyosha. You have to go and give Matonis on the half that is a Behema, but not on the other half, which is a Chaya. So you Chayiv and Chatzi. That's according to the Rabban. But again, according to the Blazer, that says we don't hold of Tzvi, V'loi Mikzah Tzvi, we'll forget. Only Tzvi, and only a set, not a mikzah tzvi, and not a mikzah set. So then you're potter from giving matanis, because if the kohen says to you, come on, after all, This happens to be a chotzi tiyosha. I want you to go and give me matanas. You go and tell him, maybe we're choshen lezera av, maybe we're not choshen lezera av. Since we don't know for sure, hamoitzim mechaveh olav araya, if you want to be mechayim, me to go and give matanas, prove to me that we have to worry about the fact that we were ain choshen lezera av. Prove that ain choshen lezera av. So av is out of the picture. No tzvi. We only have a tayosh, but since it's only a mitzas tayosh, in other words, the baby is only a mitzas seh, therefore, according to Reb Elezer, you're totally fine. That's only because we're talking about a tzvi and a tayosh. What happens if it's the other way around, a tayosh and a tzviya? Oh, so since it's principally a tzviya, tzviya, of course, because we're always choshen zera ein, only a question of choshen zera av. So since it's principally a tzviya, from the tzviya, there's no din of matonis, because matonis is only shor or yisah. Both the chacham and Reb Elezer would hold that you're potter from having to give matnois kud. That's just a summary of how the Rashi explains.
Why don't we say choshen zera av?
Because here we're talking about money. When it comes to money, then you can always go and say, you prove it. Now, finally, we get to the Ois V'Yespanoi. There's 6-7 lines on the top. In Ois V'Yespanoi, Mishkachas Lo, here you don't have to distinguish between Tayish and Tzviya, and Tzvi and Tiyosha. Here, you have the Shaila of Ois V'Yespanoi by both, but in a slightly different way. As you more explain, Mishkachas Lo Bein B'Tayish Abol Tzviya, Ubein Tzvi Habol Tiyosha. B'Tayish Abol Tzviya, the Shaila would be Uli Yisura. Do I have an Isser at all? Remember, what is the potential Isser over here? You had a mixed marriage of Chayim Behemo, Behemo and Achaya. They produced a Kvi, and now that Kvi in turn produced its own offspring. Sai a Zoch and a Kevin makes no difference. Now the question is, am I allowed to go and shecht the mommy and the child on the same day? So says Igmar, the Gabi Taishabola Tzvi, the Shail, is there even an Isser at all? The Rabbon and Sabri, Dilma Choshin le Zera'av, maybe I have to worry about Zera'av, and since the Zera'av is a Taish, is a Behemoth, ui, so this means that this Kvi is a Chotzi Behemoth. And since I, the Rabbon hold Se, Bafilu Mitzah Se, Omrinan, not only a full fledged Se, but even a partial Se, you have the Din Bishar Oise, Oise Vyas Benoy le Sishkum Tumi, the Asur, don't go and check the Kvi and its baby on the same day. When we say baby, Lavdavka, that it's still a baby. This could be 5 years hence.
Offspring?
The offspring, exactly. We know that the mother happens to be a Tzviya. We know that the child happens to be its child. Are you allowed to go and check it on the same day or not? So since we're talking about Tayish of Ola Tzviya, so principally it's a Tzviya, it's a Chai, with the din of Ois V'Yespanoi doesn't apply, because Ois V'Yespanoi is only Shor Oiseh. Ois V'Yespanoi in the Tzvi, of course, is not a Shor Oiseh, it's a Chayat. However, since Choshesh L'Zera Av, maybe the Av also has a part in it, and that happens to be a Tayish, which happens to be a Behema, but it's only 50%. The Rabban Hol, Seh, Bafil, Mitzah, Seh, and it's also, don't go and check the two on one day. But Rabban Lazar Sova, Nihinami the Choshesh L'Zera Av. Even if you are Choshesh L'Zera Av, what's the maximum in this Kvi? The maximum is 50% Av, because the Av is the Tayish. If you hold it, you don't worry about the Tayish whatsoever, you don't worry about Ein Chosh Zera Av, then you don't have a problem of Oisiv Yespanoi, because Oisiv Yespanoi is only by a Shor or a Seh. Susan Nishka Shor and Nishka Seh. But if I am Choshish with Zera Av, and therefore I have to worry about the fact that the father is a Tayish, is a Seh, says Reb Elezer, but it's Seh Vafilim Mikta Seh, I'm only concerned about a 100% set and not a half a set. Since I only have half a set, the din of Ois V'Yespanoi does not apply. But let's go the other way around. Bitzvi Habala Tiyosha. Now the machloikis is not whether there's an Isser or not. Everybody agrees there's an Isser. The question is, whether you go and give Malkis or not? Oh, what's the Shaila? So remember over here, the mother is a Tiyosh, which means the mother is a Seh. Right. And so therefore, this baby certainly has 50% Seh blood in it, because although there's a Shaila where the Choshen Lezera Av, but everybody holds Choshen Lezera Aim. And so therefore, this is clearly the Zera Aim is that from a Behema. And by Behema, we have the problem of Oysa V'Yespanoi. So Rabbon and Tzabi Nihim Dami, the Choshen Lezera Av, even if I am choshe zera av. In other words, if not choshe zera av, then forget about the tzvi. I only have a tziyosha. Then avad is a din of oisus. But even if I'm choshe zera av, since it's only 50% behema, b'sev after the mitzvah amrina, and therefore umal kinen lei. If a person goes, he's about to go and check that second animal, and you have two edim who give him asra and say, hey, you're not allowed to do that, Mr. Ois Besvenoi. And he ignores them, and you give him malchus. Why? Because even though it's only 50% set, seva filo miktasev. Reb Lezer Saba, Yisura Ika malchus leke, ka malchus nishdu. Yisura Ika dil me'en choshem zera'av. Maybe we don't worry about the zera'av. And who's the zera'av in this case? We're talking about that zera'av was a tzvi. And if I'm not choshem zera'av, then it's a tiyosha. Oy, oy, oy. It's a din of Ois Besvenoi. Vaisem ma'alyelu. However, Malkis Lekka, don't give Malkis to Mechoshma Zera'av. Maybe I do worry about the Zera'av, and the Zera'av is a Tzvi. By Tzvi, there's no din of Oisvi Espinoi. Oisvi Espinoi is only Beshor Oisvi. Yeah, but it's 50% Seh. Seh Afil Mitzaseh Le'yamrina. We don't go and say Mitzaseh, so therefore, the Issa there is, because I have to worry about maybe Ein Choshma Zera'av. But they don't give Malkis to Shenish, because the fact that it's a Seh, we do not say Miktaseh is Kiseh. And with this, we have concluded this somewhat complicated series of halachas. From here, it's relatively smooth sailing. Until this point, we have taken for granted that a kvi is the product of a chaya and a behema, or a behema and a chaya, and that's how they had that offspring called the kvi. However, so four, well, first of all, we're going to have two amayroim, and then we're going to have four tanoi. First the two amirayim is Amr of Yehuda, kvi beri b'fnei atzmahi, v'lechriyu b'chacham. Kvi is a beri b'fnei atzmah. What means a beri b'fnei atzmah? Says Rashi, there is no such thing as a behema and chaya mating and producing offspring. Ein chayim misaberes mi behema v'le behema mi chayim. If you had a strange situation where a chaya decided to go and live with a behema, or a behema with a chaya, it's nus, tunish, it's intermarriage. How are you going to have chayim with the behema, behema with the chayim? Don't do it.
Is that also like kalayim?
If a man, if a person were to mate the two, in other words, if you bring the two together, if I don't know if you're the shatchan, if you'd be over on kalayim, but if you physically mate the two, yes, you'd be over on the hemtcho le'sarbiya kalayim, for sure. But,
and we...
Yeah, 100%. And if they didn't...
They would have to be bred. They'd have to be bred by man. And can't bring him two things for them together. Signs are domesticated while
they're... Or they're very, very desperate for companionship. Not to be too critical, but here on the west side, you probably remember or probably know that a lot of people have dogs.
Okay.
Why do they have the dogs? The reason is most of them, unfortunately, do not have any mates. They have... They're not married, whatever, and they need someone to live and someone to love and to embrace and to hug. Okay, so this chaya was very desperate. It didn't have any fellow chaya, and this behema was very desperate.
The companionship is different from mating.
Yeah, no, for sure. We are not Chas V'Sholem suggesting that everybody that owns a dog has a Chas V'Sholem, Chas V'Sholem. But there is, anyway, it could be that this is an aberration. Maybe it never happened, but were it to occur. Fine, this is, the previous Gemara assumed that a kli is the product produced by this type of mixed marriage between a chayim and a behema, behema and a chayim. However, Rav Yehuda says this doesn't exist. Rashi says, very b'fnei atzma, about 10 lines before the white line, v'loi mikula a behema v'chayi huba, the sphere later of Yehuda holds, ein chayim misaberes mi behema, v'loi behema mi chayim. The two of them together, even if they mate together, the female cannot become pregnant as a result of that mating. It's not going to happen. It doesn't exist. But so everything that we've learned until now is just the theoretical. It doesn't happen.
But practical. He's an Amora, and if these people...
We're not finished. Okay. Don't be nervous. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What did we have yesterday?
It also puts the onus on the owner, the human who is trying to bring these two species.
The breeding is one isser and the product is another thing. In other words, you're not allowed to be marbia, mate the two together. If ultimately a child is born, that is, you know, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing his natural thing, that animals and wild animals produce offspring. Rav Yehuda says you can mate these two together, behem and chaya, 100 times. It doesn't make a difference. They will never have offspring from one another.
Right.
But that disagrees with what we learned until now, because that was the whole basis of the whole discussion of the Kvi. That choshen zera'av, not choshen zera'av, was that the two do mate and do produce offspring. But Rav Yehuda respectfully disagrees.
An animal biologist will tell you that that's not anatomically. They have different chromosomal arrangements and they can't.
Okay. What do you have for breakfast?
So that's what Rav Yehuda holds as well. So therefore, Kvi buried the thing. Atzmi Hibulei Chir Chacham. This whole shaila with itzech. Behemah Rechayah. The Chacham could not make a final decision. Is it a behemah? Is it a chayim? I mean, behemah imchayim. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Nachman Omar Kvi ze Ayil Habor. Ayil, as we know, is from the sheep family, the keves of the ayil. But this ayil is not your regular, normal, domesticated animal that all the kids go to the petting zoo and they go and pet it nicely. This is a bar. This is a wild beast, this ayil. So now the question is, what category does it have? It has all the appearances of being a normal shepsela, a normal lamb, but it's anything but. It's a toughie. So does it have a din of a behem or a chaya? And that's the kli that we are discussing throughout Shas. These are the two amiroim of Yehuda and Rav Nachman. I mean, Mordechai says, but don't think this is just an amiroim. It's kitanoi, it's a machloikis tanoi. And now we're going to have four views of four tanoi. What are the four? Number one, kvi ze ayil habar. That's the same as Rav Nachman that he just said now.
So it's a wild ram?
A wild ram, and it's ramming away. And ram, of course, as you know, is from the sheep family. But nevertheless, this guy is ramming, and that's why it's wild. Ayil habar. V'yesh omrim ze habo min atayish min atzviya. Oh, that's what we've been discussing for the last half an hour, as well as yesterday's daf. It is a mixed breed, and the Yesh Omrim hold, yes, it can produce offspring after all. Rabbi Yossi Omer, this is like Rav Yehuda that we had a moment ago, Kvi is buried with Ne'atzmahi. No such thing as Chai and Behemoth together reproducing. It doesn't exist. To the buried with Ne'atzmahi. Finally, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer min Behemoth. It is a Behemoth. And not only that, Shobes to Shoy. This was the name of a family that lived at that time. They had a special, I guess, a monopoly in producing kvis. And anybody that wanted to buy and look and inspect and have a kvi, he went to the Beis Dushoi because they would go to Megadol them, they would raise them.
Yeah. So if they had this whole manufacturing, why is there so much doubt? I mean, like, if this family was making them and, you know, mass producing them, like, why is there such a four-way, like, doubt as to what it is?
So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Kvi is a very, very special, you look at it and you say, I know all of the three minim of behemoths, and that is the shor, the kvasim, and the ezim, and I know all the seven different minim of the chayis, ayol, tzvi, yachmur, akoy, dishon, tzoy, vezomer. This is not one of any of those. This is a separate one on its own. If you want to look what it looks like, go and visit the Beis Dushoi family. And the others say, no. For instance, the one that says that it was reproduced, tzvi and tayish and tzvi, he says that the original granddaddy of all of these kviim was from such a maiden. Nobody around today remembers that because that he took place 100 years ago. And now these are all the children, the Enoklach and the Ir Enoklach, these are all the offspring, and we're mating all these Kviim together. But the original Kvi was Taka. So that's what that Mandiyama would hold, that it was from a reproduction of a Haman Chai together. And the others disagree. Omrav Zeir, Omrav Safra. Omrav Rafam Luna. Hani Izi Debala. Aes, as you know, is a goat, which of course is a behemoth. Bala, says Rashi, means that lives in the forest. Bala in Aramaic is the same as Ya'ar in Hebrew, and therefore these are forest goats. What is their status? Are these considered to be behemoths or chayes? Kshedus l'gav mizbech. This certainly kosher l'gav mizbech, and therefore Rav Amnuna obviously holds that they have a din of a behemoth, because there's no such thing as a chaya for a cart. So we look under Rabbi Yitzchak. He looks like Rabbi Yitzchak. There are only 10 altogether. What are the 10? We mentioned already before, but if you want to look at the Rashi, the first white line second wide line of Rashi, Esr Behemis Monakos, second wide line, Lehetra Achila, says in the Pasik, Hezzeh Mehem Trichelu, what does it say? Shor, Seikvos, Seikzovim, Seikvosim, Seizim, these are the three types of kosher, regular, domesticated animals. The only animals that we are allowed to eat from all the animals are Shor for the cow family, Seikzovim from the lamb family, Izim from the goat family. In addition to that, the Torah says, seven more chayas, which are kosher to eat. Which are those chayas? The Ayol, Tzvi, Yachmor, Akoi, Dishon, Sa'oi, Vazomer. Seven altogether. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, they knew what these were, and Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, would go and show the Pasuk Zer V'Zer, Asher Tochlu, he would go and show each one, this is a shor, this is a keveth, this is an eiz, this is a yachmor, this is an akoy, this is a dishon. Over the generations, we don't really know what the seven are. Tzvi, we know what it is, but we don't know the others. They're kind of, sorry?
We don't need to know the names. If we find an animal that has those characteristics,
then you can assume it's one of them. But it was, because our Gemara says, Quintus Mandiyama, there are only 10 which are kosher. So if you come across, you're in the forest, you're in the desert, you're in Africa, and you're on a safari.
Bison,
or a buffalo, or whatever, and you see that they chew their cud and have split hooves, then it's one of these guys. It's an ayol, or a yachmur, or an akoy, or a dishoy. The Gemara is going to talk about this a little bit more momentarily. So about these easy to balak, they are kosher for the Mizbeach, they're clearly behemoth. Why? Because the Es Behemoth Manakos is too light. Vahani middle choshev lehu v'hadi chayos, since this easy to bali is not among the seven which are enumerated in the pasuk, shema min ha'ezinu, so it's just a subset of ezim. Yes, the regular ezim are nice, domesticated, polite animals, petting zoo, but these happen to be wild. They happen to be still with the ezim family. They are behemoths springing for a cart. Great Gemara, maskur machmar yankin. The eima ayil utzvi prat. Called behema klal, meaning if you have the orator or a shoveg, we first enumerate the seven ayot tzvi yachma akadisha tzoyvaz on it, and then next passage says v'chol behema mafresis parsa. So I have the prat, and then I have the klal. And normally when you have a prat and a klal, not a klal prat and klal, you have a prat, and then you have a klal. We go and say is nasa klal moisif ala prat, and then ikatuva. Klal Moisif Prat means we add tons of others. Don't think it's just these prats. It's v'chol behema. Oh, many, many, many more. So maybe they're not just 10. Maybe they're 20. Maybe they're 50. Maybe they're 100. Says Yimoy, that cannot be. Because in King called Hani Prati Lomeli. That's what you're trying to tell me. It's a prat and a klal. The klal is Moisif. You only need one prat or two prat. We have to go and enumerate seven chayas and 10 behemoths altogether. Three behemoths and seven chayas. So here we wouldn't say prat or klal. But maskulur machmeri ravika v'dilma mina di akoy ninu. Maybe this easy to bala, you don't even know, but this is in fact part of the akoy family. What's the akoy family? I don't know. But maybe the easy to bala fits in within the akoy. And if it's the akoy, it's a chaya. It's kosher, but you can't bring it for a carbon, because the carbon is only the three minim, shor, seh, and the eighth. Omli ravacham reid rav laravashi, the avi laravacham reid rav avi laravashi. Dilma mina disa'oi, oi mina disa'omen nino. Don't only talk about the akoi. Maybe it's a subset of sa'oi and zomen. And so therefore, you would not be able to bring it for a carbon. Moreover, omli rav chonel rav ashi, ameymar shoru tarbayu. Ameymar, when he would catch, or someone would offer to him from Izi to Bala, he would say, you can eat the chaylev. How can you eat chaylev? You're only not allowed to eat chaylev of a behema. But chaylev of a chaya is mutter. Ooh, he considered these to be chayos. If they're chayos, you can go eat the chayos. So we have a big, big machloikis. Rav Hamnun on the one hand said, you can bring the Izzet Abala for kabbonis, they have the status of a behema. While Amem on the other hand said, what are you talking about? I'm going to eat the chayos, because he considers it to be a chaya and not a behema. A lot of what we just discussed, we're going to repeat now again in slightly different form. Boy minay, abba bereid ramin yomin barchia, mei rafuna barchia, Hani Izi Rebala Malagam Mizbeach, what's the status of Izi Rebala? Can you bring it for a carpet? Is it a behemoth or not? Amalei, Ankan, if we get up at Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan, El Bishor Habor. By Shor Habor, there's a machloikis. What's the Shor Habor? Shor Habor, everybody knows Shor Habor v'Lev Yosin, right? We can eat
yeah.
the lovely. Yeah, that is fine. Shor Habor means also Shor, which is a boar, which is a wild beast. What's the status of it? Did not. We have a machlokes. Shor Habor min behemahu, and therefore it's kosher for the carbon. And therefore you could not bring it for a carbon, and you'd be allowed to eat from the chaylev since it's minchai. So what's the machlokes by the Shor Habor? If you look in the Targum Lashon on Shor Habor, you'll see it says Torbala. Now, what means Torbala? Torbala means a shor, which is Bala, which means that it is a wild shor. Uh-huh. So now, since the definition of Torbala is Mina de Behemo, now where does it say the Torbala? It says by the Sa'oi. The Gemara leaves out a key word. Rashi supplies it, that when you get to the Sa'oi Vazomer, you look up in the Chimish, you look up in the Targum Lashon on Sa'oi, it's called Torbala. The Torbala is a Lashon of Shor. Tor is a Shor. Shor, of course, is a Behemo. It says, say the Rabbanim, since the definition of Sa'oi happens to be Torbala, which is a Min de Behema, it's a Behema, and you can bring it for a car. What are you talking about? Since this Sa'oi, even though Targum Lashon is Shor Bala, Tor Bala, but nevertheless it's in the list of the seven, it must mean that it's a Chaya and not a Behema. And therefore, says the Gemara, we have a machlokes the Gabi Shor Habor, since the Targum Lashon says it's a Shor. However, since logic tells you that it's a Chaya, by a Shor Habor we have a machlokes. Avulhani, by these, meaning the Izid Abala, Dibri HaKoyim, meaning the Eznenu. Everybody agrees that it's a Behema and it's not a Chaya, and therefore you can bring it for a card.
Machlokes. It somewhat depends upon where in the world. Obviously, they're wild. Like the Rocky Mountains, they look white, they're larger than the domesticated,
but they're in other parts of the world they are domesticated. We're more mountainous regions of the world where they exist. So, I mean, they still look like goats, and they sell some species of goat. The only thing we can know is what the Chazal knew at that time. They were familiar with the Izid Abala. Izid Abala, they said, are the forest goats. Rashi has another interpretation, Izabala, as a halvonim, means in those forests which are north of Eretz Israel, which border on, or today might be considered modern-day Lebanon, if you can use the term modern-day. But the point is that, in fact, you may be right, that the Izabala is only a particular region, and they were not discussing any Izabala that we might find now in South Africa, or in Rhodesia, or in somewhere else. Exactly. So maybe they're only referring to a particular Izid Abala. If they would see those other Izim, they would say, this is not an easy answer. I don't have an easy answer to those Izid Abala. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so the Machlokes was the Gabi de Shor Habor. Is that a Behemo or Bichai? But the Gabi Izid Abala, everybody agrees, says this man, the Omar, Avad, it's Izim, it's Behemoth, you can bring it for a cart. Who says? Maybe it's a subset of Akoi, which is one of the seven Chayas. Maybe it's a subset of a Sa'oi or a Zemen. In other words, we, these Amiroim, say we don't know what the definition is. You see, there's the best raya that they didn't have art scroll Gemaras at that time. Otherwise, just look up, or art scroll Chumashim. Just look it up and see what the definition is. So apparently they didn't have that. Clear eye, right? Anyway, they didn't know what the definition is, and we don't know what the definition is today either. If you look in the these art school chumashim, they all say in English, Sa'oi, you know, S-E-O, and Zomer, Z-A-M-E-R. And then it would say, transliterated, right? And then they would say on the bottom, either we're not sure, or according to this one it's this, and according to that one it's that, you know, various opinions as to what it might mean. But since we don't know for sure, maybe Izra Baal in fact is not a behemoth. Maybe it's a Chaya, and it's a subset of Sa'oi, or Zomer, or Akoi, or one of those others. In fact, like we said before, and maybe you see from the Chaylov of the Izra Baal, so it's clear that he held it's not a difficult decision, it's not a behemoth, it's a Chaya. Okay. Now that we've concluded this whole discussion about Kviz, and the Gabi Behemoth and Chayis, we go back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah back at the beginning of the Berek, which we learned 2 days ago in Daf Ayin Ches, has a very long laundry list of potential oisai di espinois. As you recall, to chulin animals, to kachim animals, to bifnim, to bachutz, one bifnim, one bachutz, one chulin, one kachim. It was a fascinating discussion. And yes, Shelley wants to say something.
Yeah, in Parshas Re'eh and Yotzvah Chumash,
yes,
you'll find most of the definitions in modern day terms like giraffe and things like that.
That's right.
For those, that list, the ten, list of ten.
And will they say that it's definite or that this is the assumed shot?
It seems pretty definite.
Okay. Yeah. After the Seder, we'll take out the Yotzvah Chumash and we'll study it in greater detail. Very good. Shkoya for bringing that to our attention. So, continuing on the Gemara now. Omer Reb Oishia, Kulam Asis Miloik Reb Shimon. The various cases that we gave in the Mishnah do not shtim. Shtim means it does not work with Reb Shimon. Why? Mimai. Mirikatoni Kodshim Machut. So now, we have to know what does Reb Shimon hold. If you look at the last line, just go ahead, 2 lines on the bottom of the Omer. Reb Shimon holds Shchita She'en Re'uya Lo Yishma Shchita. Shchita she'ein ruya means anytime you shecht an animal, whether it's a behemah or a chayah, and you cannot eat from that shchita, it doesn't have the name shchita. So you're saying to yourself, if you shechted it, why can't you go and eat from it? I mean, after all, you should be able to go and eat from something which you shecht. So we have a laundry list on Pei Gimel Amid Beis in the Mishnah of various.
You do the child on the same day as the mother.
Now you're leading us in the right direction. Let's see, maybe it's Pe'alef from the base. Yeah, Pe'alef from the base. What happens? Hashoychevim to Pe'alef from the base, the Mishnah towards the top of the Yom. Hashoychevim to Treifa. You shecht it, you did a beautiful job, and unfortunately there's a sircha in the loft. Pe'alef. 81. Just, we'll learn this tomorrow. Yeah. So, Hashoychevim to Treifa. You shecht and you find that the animal is treifa. Are you allowed to go and eat from the animal now? No. Hashoychev l'avoydezara. What happens if you shecht l'avoydezara? Once you shecht l'avoydezara, this whole animal becomes not only osir b'achila, but it's osir b'ha. No. What happens if you had a poris chatas, paraduma, holy cow, and you shechted it? Are you allowed to eat from that paraduma? And the answer is no. You can use it for spritzing on tummy people, but you're not allowed to eat from it. What happens if a shor anisko? Shor anisko means a shor that chas v'shalom killed someone. And the Bezin said, we have to kill that shor. And they quickly ran with the shor and shechted it before we had a chance to do skila. Asur b'no, you're not allowed to eat it, gunish. What happens if you have an egla rufa? You designate an egla to go and be a rufa because of, you found a chol b'adami, you don't know who, blah, blah. Once you designate it for an egla rufa and you shecht it, asur b'achila, asur b'no. Says Reb Shimon, what happens if this is one of the mommy or baby animals? Says Reb Shimon, Baiter, it's not considered to be a shechita. What do you mean I didn't do a shechita? The chalif was perfect. There wasn't any pigimais, any dents, any notches. It wasn't serrated. It was beautiful shechita. Everything was great. But if the shechita did not allow you to eat from that animal, because it was a paraduma, it was a shoran niskal, it was an egla rufa, whatever the reason is, that shechita does not have the status of shechita. So that's why we're talking about it now. But the Oish Mismanai, exactly right. Zotimar, Kulmasi the encryption. Mimai. We're back on Pei Amid Aleph, 3 lines to the bottom. Mimai, Miriktotani. So we're going to just go through a couple of cases in the Mishnah. All very straightforward. Kodshim Bachutz. You shechted two animals Bachutz, both a mami shlamim and a baby shlamim. Both of those animals. And you shechted both of them Bachutz. What does it say in the Mishnah? Harishim Chayiv Kores, because of Shchute Chutz. Ushneim psulim, both the mami and the baby are pasul. Why are they both pasul? Number one, because you shechted it pachut, and number two, because the second one is a mechusar zman. You should have waited till the next day. So they're both pasul in terms of kavanis. Ushneim soifkim esarboy, and you have to go and give malkis to both. Both the first guy that shechted the kachim pachut. What's the reason why you give him malkis al shchute chut? And what do you give the second one, Malkis? Because Oisiv Yespenoi, Le Sishkutu Bi'ay Mecha.
I thought it's Kares for Shkutei Chutz.
So how can you go, in fact, that's what it says. He's Chayiv Kares. You're asking, how can you go and give him Kares and also give him Malkis?
Right.
You're Mecha. Excellent Kasha. And that's Toysis' Kasha over here. If you look at the last Tosfos here on the Amud, see Harishon Chai, of course, his name's Tosfos Chai. You got that? The like Rabbi Yitzchak, our Mishnah, our Gemara is not like Rabbi Yitzchak. He almost had a like at the end of Masechtas Malkus. He says Chayavi Krisus Shalaku. Once you get Malkus, Niftiru Midei Krisus, and then there's no din of Karet. Since our Mishnah says he gets both Karet and Malkus, it's not like Rabbi Yitzchak. So Mitzvah, we get back to Masechtas Malkus, you'll see at the very end, it's the last daf, is Machloikis whether or not someone who's over on an Isser, Shiyesh by Karis, and he had Hasro or the Malkus, does he get both the Malkus and the Karis, or he only gets the Malkus without the Karis? So Argamar that holds you get both, it's the Loikir Mitzvah. Very excellent question, Ariel. So getting back to Argamar. Mathis Shemina Lerim Shemin Yama Shchita Rishuri Loish Moshchita. He holds that a shechita that does not allow you to eat from that meat is garnish. It's worthless. That being the case, Zokti Mora, Kama, that first shechita that took place outside the Beis Hamikdash, Bachut of Kodshim, Mikvel Kautle, don't look upon it as shechita. Look upon it as if he took a baseball bat and he hit it over the head. He killed this animal. That being the case, Sheni Miskabu Bifnemu. Then you'd be able to go and bring the second one as a carbon. Why would you be able to? It's no longer according to Pshim, in the first one I didn't shecht. What do you mean I didn't shecht? Of course I shechted. It's not a halachically effective shechita because you can't eat from it. That being the case, it's worthless. It's just as if you killed it. So then the second one is miskabeth nimu, and then not like our Mishnah that said that the second one. Why is the second one considered to be possible? It's Mechusas Man. Why is it Mechusas Man? Because they already shechted the mami today. You didn't shecht the mami today. You gassed it. You shot it with a gun. You threw an arrow at it. But I shechted it. According to Reb Shimon, Shechit Shen Ruya, Lav Shema Shechita. Worthless. And therefore, Sheni Miskalbus Nemu, this second one you could have, would have brought it inside the Beis Hamikdash, and you didn't. Karis namu mechayiv, you're going to be chayiv karis on the second animal, not on the first one, but on the second one. Because the second one is not possible out mechusas man, because there was no mami shechted that day. I killed the mami, I didn't shecht. Next case.
The first one who hits it with the bat.
The first one who
hits the animal with the bat.
Yeah.
Because he's still, he's chayiv karis.
That's only if you shecht kodshim bachutz. Even
but
though
it's not called shecht, it's called
because it's not called shechting. So the point that you're making is an excellent one. Hold it, please, for a moment. We're going to talk about that in another 5-6 lines. We'll be back to you. Continuing on. When I'm there with chulin bifnim, you had two animals, both chulin, and you took them inside the base of meat. If you shechted both, are you allowed to do that?
No.
It's chulin bazara. Bad boy. Okay. Shneim sulam, chulin bazara, both of them are possible. Vashenin, the second one, Sivik Zaboyim, because of. By shechting chulim bifnim, you're not allowed to go and shecht chulim bifnim. And if you do, the food, the meat is going to be osir, like we say, shneim sulim. That being the case, it's not a case of shechita. It's a case of banging it over the head with a bat. Even though I did a shechita, it's not considered to be halachic shechita. So sheini amai soviges aboyim. What's wrong with the second animal? Why do you get a punishment out? Oisvias benoi, it wasn't oisvias benoi. I didn't shecht the mami animal. The mami animal was killed, but it was not geshochten, because according to Reb Shimon, shechita sheina ruya ein shmoshchita. That's the second case. Let's go to the third case. Kodshim bifnim, two animals which are both kodshim. Before we had kodshim bachutz, now we're talking about kodshim bifnim. What's the din? Harishon is kodshim. After all, it's normal kachim inside base meter, no problem. Upata, fine. Vasheni serve as a boy. Why do you get sheni? Because since I shechted the first one, the second one I'm not allowed to shech because it's mechusar's man. What happens is saving as a boy because of takadis misdin of oisiv yesbenoi. Once you shechted the first one, don't shech the second one. You shech the second one, you're over on oisiv yesbenoi biyamech. Upata, of course, it's possible because it was mechusar's man. Now this is very, very crucial to Bill's question and also to argument. Mechti shemina l'Reb Shimon, the Amar shechita shein ruya, loy shva shechita. Shechita's kodshim, nami shechita shein ruyahi. Every shechita's kodshim, any shechita's kodshim, is shechita shein ruyahi. Why? The kamad loy zorik dam, until you do the rikas adam, loy mishteri basar. You cannot go and eat from the flesh. Because the definition of shechita, she'ein ra'uy, according to Reb Shimon, is any shechita that does not allow you to eat from the flesh. Guess what? You cannot eat from the flesh of this animal because you only did a shechita. Yeah, but I'm going to do a zrika. Dai l'simcha b'shat. When you do the zrika, then you'll be allowed to eat from it. But because of the shechita itself, you cannot eat from it. That being the case, and the shechita was ineffective on its own. Oh, so ma'aser b'gzeboim. Why would you say sheni a ma'aser b'gzeboim? Why would you say that the second animal you now over on oisiv yespenoi? It's not true. Upasel. It's not true because according to Reb Shimon, the first animal was never geshachted. What do you mean it wasn't geshachted? You shechted like every kachet. Yeah, but that was a shechita she'ena ruuya. According to this, what we're saying is elishma minod the loik Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah cannot go to Reb Shimon. We just gave the three examples. Can't go like Reb Shimon. Now the Meforshim go and particularly focus on this last shtickler. What's that last shtickler? About the Shechitas Kodshim. Come to Chois Leit Reb Shimon, you can never have Oysev Yespenoi B'Kodshim. Why can't you have Oysev Yespenoi B'Kodshim? Because when you shech the first animal, you can never eat from that animal. What do you mean? By Karban Shlomim I eat from the animal. Karban Toida, Karban Chattas, the Kehanim eat. Yeah, but it's as a result of the Zrika, not as a result of the Shechita. Shechita alone is totally ineffective. So every Shechita, for these purposes, is considered to be a Shechita Shein Ruya, and therefore Reb Shimon would hold that the din of Uisvias Benoit does not apply to Kachin, and therefore, Zugna Meforshim Lechoyram, when we started off our Mishnah, Uisvias Benoit, Noig Bein Ba'aret, Bein Bechutzlar, Bethea Ba'ashmul Bethnait, Be'achun and Ovi Mugdashim, since our Mishnah doesn't coin to Reb Shimon, he would hold it does not go by Mukdoshim at all. Question, Harry.
So what if you were shechting the mommy and then there was the Zrika and then you shechted
so let's go to the next shtickle. So tomorrow, Pshita, you're telling me that this is a groisa chiddush to Reb Shimon. All you did really was just go through the motions and explaining the mechanics, how the details work. But yes, I know the Allah of Reb Shimon. I know that Reb Shimon holds shechita she'en ruya lav shmo shechita. So all of this is a dava pashit. No, it's not the pashit. Pshita dohachi isa. So Gemara, the third case is the chiddush. Shechita kachim strichale. So kadai techemin a shechita kachim shechita reuyehi. Even according to Reb Shimon, why do inochar v'zorik dam loy mishri basa? What happens if instead of shechting the behema, you nochar? Nochar means you killed it, you stabbed it, you shot it, you gassed it, and then after you did the zrika, would it be mutter? Of course not. It's all about chishanchat mishri basar, and after that you did a zrika. So therefore, ushchita ra'uyehi. You see, by definition, the shchita is a shchita ra'uyeh, not like you're hypothesizing that it's shchita she'ein ra'uyeh because you can't eat. Fakert, it's only because you shechted it you're allowed to eat. Yeah, there's a requirement you have to wait until after the zrika, but the shchita was great. So that's what I would think that Reb Shimon would not agree with this third scenario, and he would hold that there is a din of oisef zanoi even by shchitas kachim. Kamash malon, nay. You look at the shchita alone, and since the shchita alone is not matter b'achila by kachim, you still have to come on to your zrika. No, that being the case, you never have a din of oisef yes benoi by kachim. So that's the conclusion of the shtickle, that our Mishnah does not go like Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara asks a different question. Forget about Reb Shimon for the time being. Now forget about it. Put him on the side. Let's go back to our Mishnah. And it says in the Mishnah, what happens if you shechted the mushel, the first animal you did was kachin, and now you want to go and do the second one kachin, or even if the first animal was chulin, and you want to do the second one kachin, it says that you'll be oiver if you shech both of them, out oisev yes benoit. Why don't you go and have Malkus also because of the fact that it is a Mechusser's man, which of course passes. It's Mechusser's man because you should wait until the next day. You shouldn't shecht it the same day. So you're going to tell me, Mechusser's man is not upset. If you shecht a Mechusser's man, it's not an Isser. No, no, it is an Isser. Desanya, we have a Breiser. If you have a Bal Mum of any type of Mum, any type of psul, and nevertheless you go and shecht it in the base of Migdush, you're over a lav. What is your lav? It said in the pasuk, v'shar v'seh serua v'kolut n'dov v'tasa oisai ulenei de lo yeratze. You cannot bring a shar v'seh serua v'kolut. What is the surah of a kolit? Those are two bali mumin. Surah means that the limbs are not parallel to one another. In other words, one leg, for instance, is 2 feet long, the other one is 3 feet long, or any other part of the body is totally out of proportion. One is a small ear and one is a huge ear. That's called the surah. Kolit, as we had already many times, means it's not mafreses parsa, but rather that it's the hooves are together, attached, and not split. What happens on that? It says in the pasuk of the neda, lo yeratza. Lo yeratza means do not shech a surah of a kolit. If you do, you're oivan iser of lo yeratza. Why does the pasuk have to say v'shar v'seh? That whole parsha is talking about bali mumin. It would be enough to start off the pasuk. The surah of a kolit, neda lo yeratza. Why do we have to have shar v'seh? Comes to tell you the absolut shar v'seh. Any psul shehoi b'lo yeratza. So therefore, when you're now shechting the second animal, we said you're going to be over if there was hasra and two eidim. You're going to have to go and get malchus because you're over on loisishka to biyoy mechad halt shor v'sel loisishka ois that oisiv yes benoy biyoy mechad. I have another laugh. What's the other laugh? Since you brought this as a carbon, you're going to be over on this loyeratza because anything which is possible is loyeratza. So give him two malchus. Emphatimar, the truth of the matter is we could have said that in the Mishnah. We're only talking, after all, our perek is focused on oisiv yez benoy. What happens if he did it on Shabbos? He would be over another iser as well. You know, you can find more isurim. We're not looking to go and be marv isurim. We just want to focus on oisiv yez benoy. Frank Timar, lavi nechroi lekachash. But other lavin, like the one you just gave le'yerotza, you're right. But we weren't enumerating other lavin. Frank Timar, after all, we mentioned a number of times, even this morning, both the first guy and the second guy. Why does the first guy go and get Malkus? Because he did Kodesh Mechutz, and Ariel already asked an Eisen Akasha, but he gets Kodesh. Why is he also getting Malkus? We brought the Toises, so we do have other Malkus mentioned in the Mishnah besides Oisiv Yes Benai. So why didn't we mention the Malkus out to Lo Yeratzeh? Everyone, Mishloi Misheni. Oh, so now the Gemara is still finishing off the Kash. Mishloi Misheni. Why they both soifik yourself boy? Sheni Mishim Lav Yoisus. But no, El Rishon Amay soifik. What's his lav that he was over? Lav Mishum Lav Neshutei Chutz. Oh, so you see that we are enumerating other lav in the Mishnah. So why didn't we enumerate also the lav of the Lo Yeratze? So Gemara goes, Hey, Chadalek Lav Doisves Benoy Choshev Lavin Chroy. Where there is no oisves benoy, for instance, on that first animal that you shechted bachut, the kachim bachut, there's no oisves benoy in the first animal. So therefore, kachim lavin the chayit. Now we throw in a lav. However, chalecha the ikalav the oisves benoy by the second one, who by definition we already have one lav. We're not interested here in piling up lavin. So we kachim lavin the chayit. We didn't enumerate it, but you're right. There would be an iser of lo yeratza. So this is teretz number one to this kasha. Why don't we mention lo yeratza? Because of the fact that we're only focusing on ois v'es benoy. And if there is no ois v'es benoy, then we have shchut echut. But we don't want to just burden ourselves and burden the Mishnah with more lav and more lav. Reb Zeir Om, I have a better teretz. Hanel chavchus is man. There is no lo yeratza that you get malchus. Why? Takosin nitkoi la'asei. We have a concept of a lav hanitik la'asei. Lav hanitik la'asei means that when you're oivis certain surim, take for instance, it says Lagabi Halachav Noiser, Loisisir Mimenu Ad Boiker. Don't leave over any carbon until the next morning. What happens if you left it over till the next morning? You should go and get Malkus for that, because you're over on the din of Noiser, leaving on the next morning. Loisisir Mimenu. But the pasuk continues on, but Noiser Men Ad Boiker, but Eish Tis Roifu. The Torah says, I have another remedy. Instead of giving the guy Petra, giving him Malkus, go and take the Noiser and just go and burn it. Here too, the Torah says, don't do Oisis Benai. You want to bring both for Kabbalah? It's no problem. Bring the other one tomorrow. Just don't bring it today. My time the Yamakra, Miyam Meshmini Bahali Yehruatze, Miyam Meshmini in Meikara Loi. It's a lava bomachal assay, essay. And therefore, that's the reason why we don't mention it another Malkus. In fact, you would not get another Malkus because it's a lava and nitik lassay. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Zai Gebeng, Zai Yisro.